I did not fly through the night to watch you sleep. Wake up. Her voice jars me like nothing else can. I roll over and find Mira staring at me from Zayden's side of the bed, her legs stretched out on top of the blankets, her stockinged feet crossed at the ankles. Dark circles linger under her eyes as she studies mine. But I don't spot any new wounds, thankfully. I don't want to. Lack of use makes my voice scratchy. Yeah, she studies my eyes with a creased brow and smooths my hair back from my forehead. But you have to. You can cry or scream or even break shit if you want, but you cannot live in this bed. I was whole, and now I'm not. My eyes sting, but I don't cry. That stopped days ago. She's really gone. I'm so sorry. Sympathy fills Mira's expression. But not sorry enough to lose you to your grief. You just have to start by getting up. She wrinkles her nose. Then you can graduate to bathing. Someone knocks and my focus jumps to the closed bedroom door. How did you get in here anyway? Ryerson let me in. Her hand slides from my head as the door opens. Of course he did. She's awake, Mira calls over her shoulder. Zayden looks in, worry etching lines across his forehead until he spots me. Look who's up. A corner of his mouth rises. Unwillingly, I admit. His eyes flare, and I realize it's the first time I've spoken to him in days, too. Shit, I need to pull myself together. How did you replace the power you lost? Mira asks quickly. I wrench my gaze back to hers.
I didn't. What are you talking about?
If she's awake, then let me in, Brennan argues from the hallway behind Zayden. They're my sisters.
I can kill him if you prefer, Zayden offers, raising his scarred brow.
And give him another opportunity to fake his own death, Mira scoffs.
He can come in.
Pushing with both hands, I force myself to sit up. I've been in Zayden's sparring shirt and a rolled up pair of his sleeping pants for so long they're practically embedded in my skin. Zayden pulls Brennan through the doorway and my brother immediately frowns at Mira.
What are you doing?
Brennan questions as he shuts the door behind him. Zayden leans back against the bookshelves and stares at me like I might flee at any second or worse, disappear back under the covers.
Hi.
Hi. I don't have it in me to smile, but I drink in the sight of him. Mira's eyes narrow at Brennan in warning. You sent me a missive saying our sister was a breath away from catatonic, so now I'm here. What does it look like I'm doing?
I wanted you to get her out of bed, Brennan gestures at me, not crawl into it with her.
I've been here less than half an hour and she's already speaking, so I think my methodology is pretty sound.
She levels him with a look that reminds me of Mom.
What exactly have you been doing?
Mom would definitely be horrified by my inability to function.
Sitting in that chair, he points beside the bed, figuring out how to house and feed the thousands of people currently climbing the Madaro Pass, while overseeing a massive increase in forge output, in addition to spending my evenings mending every wounded rider capable of flying here from the front.
You don't have to tell me about the front, Mira taps her chest. Raising the wards must have pissed them off because they are kicking our ass out there, and all we can do is fall back. I can see Drathus from the line.
You really opened the border.
My eyes widen on Zayden as my siblings continue to argue in the background. He nods once.
It's what my father would have wanted.
But Fenn didn't actually do it. Zayden did. And I've been too lost in my misery to even know, let alone support him in an act of blatant treason. My face falls.
Whatever you're thinking, stop, Zayden says, tilting his head.
I've left you to deal with it alone. Llewellyn would be heinously disappointed in me. I'm heinously disappointed in myself.
You've been breathing, and that's enough for me.
The relief in his eyes is palpable, and that somehow makes me feel worse. I'm supposed to be stronger than this. What else have I missed?
She lost a dragon, Mira shouts. Not a boyfriend. It's not a breakup. Her gaze swings to Zayden. No offense. The emptiness threatens to overwhelm me again, but Taryn inundates the bond with a deluge of defiance and indignation.
Focus on now. On him, if you have to.
I still have both of them, Taryn and Zayden.
None taken. Zayden folds his arms but doesn't look away. We're past the breakup stage.
Point is, Mira lectures Brennan, the deficit of power has to be staggering, let alone the emotional impact of severing a bond.
Stop talking about me like I'm not here, I whisper.
I didn't imply she has to bounce back like a toy, Brennan retorts. Stop! My shout brings the room to a standstill.
I have to get out of this bed, if only to escape from their arguing.
Brennan's entire body sags.
Thank the gods you speak.
I told you she speaks, Mira throws up her hands. No wonder Dad spent so much time in the archives, I mutter, then peel back the covers.
Step one, get out of bed. Step two, bathe off 4 days of misery.
And now you're telling jokes? Brennan's mouth drops. She likes me more than you. Mira brushes a piece of grass off her uniform.
Nothing about this is funny. My feet hit the floor.
You two have got to stop fighting. Work it out. Because other than Niara, we're all that's left.
I slowly stand. Zayden moves to push off the bookshelves and I shake my head at him. I need a moment.
I make my way to the bathing chamber, reminding myself to breathe. The argument dims as I shut the door, then disappears when I start the bath after relieving myself.
Moment over.
Zayden walks through the door in a matter of seconds and quickly shuts it behind him, cutting off Brennan's and Mira's raised voices.
Are they still arguing? I sit on the edge of the tub and reach in to test the water.
They're your siblings, he answers, rolling up his uniform sleeves as he comes my way.
Let me do that.
He dips his hand in the bath, then adjusts the lever that brings water in from the aqueduct system.
Can I help you?
I nod. He strips me out of my clothes and I get into the tub. Warm water rushes over me as I lean back and I start pulling apart the strands of my braid. Kneeling beside me, he lathers soap on a small cloth and begins to wash me, starting at my feet.
You have other things you should be doing, I say softly,
watching his eyes as his hands move with a gentleness that would shock everyone but me.
Everything else will wait. He moves to my knee. But it can't. Not if he's opened the border against the decree of the Cenarium, though I love him all the more for saying so. It doesn't matter how impossible everything feels. The world is still spinning beyond these doors, and I have to catch up to it. I'm a master of pain, and Andarna's loss is the deepest I've ever had to mask in order to survive. But I don't have to pretend with Zayden.
I've missed 3 days of rune instruction, I whisper when I'm nearly clean. Best to start small when it comes to what's lacking in my life. Plus, it's one of the only areas in my life where I've never allowed him to assist.
Hate to break it to you, love, but 3 days was never going to help you in that subject.
His lips twitch, and he moves the cloth down my arm.
Will you help me?
The words are easier than I thought they'd be. His gaze snaps to mine.
Ask me nicely.
The corners of my mouth cork as I remember the last time he made the same demand and ended up kissing me against the foundation wall.
Will you please help me?
Always,
he finishes with my hand. May I wash your hair?
Please.
I duck my head under the water as Zayden moves behind me. Then I rise and search for the right words. The simple pleasure of his hands working soap through my hair gives me a flicker of hope that I might just be able to feel something positive again. I think I know why riders die when their dragons do. His fingers pause before he continues.
Why?
It's not just the deficit of power, I muse, cupping the bathwater with my hand and letting it flow out between my fingers.
In that moment, I didn't know who I was, where I belonged, or why I should bother breathing. If Taryn hadn't grounded me, I think I would have willingly floated away. I still can't comprehend the enormity of her absence. I don't know if I ever will. I can't see past it.
You don't have to yet.
He moves to my side and sits on the edge of the tub. Yes, I do. I'm pretty sure I just heard my siblings say the Western Line is crumbling and you have thousands of people fleeing into your province. I tilt my head. Is there more?
Yes,
he answers without hesitation. But no rider has survived what you just did, except Jack Barlow, I interrupt.
Glad to see your sense of humor is intact.
He lifts his scarred brow. No one expects you to be anywhere close to fully functional. I do. Keeping busy will prevent me from falling back into that bed. I lean into Taryn and try to ignore the gaping void where Andarna should be.
Then, here's the question.
He grips the side of the tub and searches my eyes. Do you need me to take care of you or kick your ass? I'm fully capable of and willing to do both.
I know it.
My lips press into a tight line. I want him to take care of me, but I need him to kick my ass, and need beats want every time. I sink under the water and work the soap from my hair, lingering in the absolute silence a moment longer than necessary to rinse. When I emerge, Zayden is leaning forward like he was 1 second shy of coming in after me. My body remembers to breathe on its own. Can you grab me a uniform from the armoire? I need to get dressed. He nods, then presses a kiss to my wet forehead.
Be right back.
By the time he returns, I'm drying my hair and body while the water drains. Reluctance mars his face as he hands over my things.
I'm going back out there to make sure they don't kill each other. Who is Niara?
My eyebrows shoot up. My grandmother.
She's apparently a sore subject.
He grimaces and heads into the bedroom. I get dressed quickly, leaving my hair wet and unbound as I burst through the bathing chamber door into our bedroom. Mira and Brennan look one step away from drawing weapons and are utterly oblivious to my arrival. Shadows curl at Zayden's feet as he leans on the edge of our desk, arms folded, eyes narrowed on my siblings.
She hated our mother.
Brennan shakes his head. I can't believe you would go there.
Violet has Dad's books. You have Erasia,
Mira hisses.
I went to the only other living member of our family because all I have are a few of Mom's journals, and there are months missing, Brennan.
He recognized the bracelet as belonging to your grandmother, and it went downhill from there.
Zayden fills me in.
So Mom didn't journal for a couple of months. So what?
He shrugs. Did you ask Violet if she has...
The months are missing in the middle of the book, she counters. And they're from the summer Mom and Dad left us with Grandma Niara. Mom purposely didn't write anything.
Wait, I've read that journal too.
That doesn't mean, Brennan starts. I was 8, Mira interrupts. And it was just you and me, remember? Violet was too little to stay. When they returned, Grandma stopped speaking to them.
Want me to figure out?
Zayden lifts a brow and glances in my direction.
No.
I shoot him a warning look.
That doesn't mean they hauled her to Dune's temple and dedicated her.
Brennan shakes his head with disgust.
That's been illegal since the 200s.
Dedicated. Gravity pitches and my balance shifts, like the stone beneath my feet has suddenly become sand.
It is good we did not complete your dedication.
The Unbrish High Priestess's words ring through my head, as does the memory of her silver hair, just like Theophany's, just like mine.
Violet?
A band of shadow wraps around my hips, steadying me for the heartbeat it takes Zayden to reach me and replace it with his arm.
Then they went to Poor O'Meal to do it, Mira shouts. You will believe me, Brennan, because it happened. It's why she refused to speak to either of them. The priestess started the process, then told Mom and Dad that they only accepted children whose futures are certain, and Violet still had paths to choose from.
Since when do you believe in drug-induced hallucinations spit out by oracles?
Brennan throws up his hands, revealing the rune-shaped scar on his palm.
Or the ranting of our grandmother.
Tell me, Did you choose this path yourself? That's what the priestess asked me.
And one of those paths, Mira runs him right over, shaking her head. They refused to take her, and I've been requesting temple records for months. But of course, none of them would list a child, let alone a Sorengale.
My mind races, putting together pieces of a picture that I have no desire to see but am somehow a part of.
Brennan glances my way and blanches. Mira, the priestess spoke all cryptically, but basically said if Violet chose her future poorly, she could still earn their mentorship, but she'd turn... Mira continues. Mira! Brennan gestures toward me. Her startled gaze whips in my direction and she flinches.
Violet, she whispers, shaking her head. I didn't mean for you to...
I'm sorry. Turn what? I demand. There's only one turn that comes to mind. She looks at Zayden. Do you want to give us a second?
Stay.
I lean into him as my thoughts spin. No, he answers Mira. Turn Venon, I guess. Mira presses her lips into a tight line. You wouldn't find any records at our temples, I say slowly, heaviness settling in my chest. Because they never tried to dedicate you, Brennan assures me, glaring at our sister.
They did, I nod sluggishly. It just wasn't here. They must have taken me to Umbriel.
It explains why you think my hair grew in like this, and the wild things that priestess said to me before she sliced my arm open.
No, Brennan puts his hands on his hips. Dad thought you were perfect, and he said that parents used to dedicate their infants to a particular deity's service when they thought the touch of a god would help that child.
He quickly shuts his mouth. My stomach hollows.
They tried to fix me by giving me to Dune?
No chance. Mom was never temple-minded, Brennan argues. And you've never needed fixing.
I'm not sure I'll ever forgive him for what he's done to her.
Oh, gods.
They'd never seen dragons until our squad arrived.
Mom didn't take me. My eyes sting at the unexpected betrayal.
Dad did.
A horrified laugh bubbles up through my throat.
It's why he told you that little piece of history, Brennan. In case you needed to put it together, it's why he sent me there with those books.
I look to Mira.
I don't think any of us actually knew our parents.
I blink.
Is that why you've been so distant lately? Why you constantly look at me like I'm going to grow a set of horns? Because you think I'm going to turn at any second?
No.
Yes, maybe, I don't know.
She moves toward me, but Brennan blocks her path.
What did she say? Brennan asks Mira. What were the priestess's exact words?
Mira twists the bracelet, then looks at me straight in the eyes.
She said, the heart that beat for you, or within you, would do the wrong thing for the right reason, reach for unspeakable power and turn dark.
My lips part.
Within her or for her? Brennan asks.
Isn't it the same thing? Mira challenges.
Violet's at risk of turning. And with power like hers.
Stop, Zayden says, and my head snaps in his direction. It's not Violet. It's me.
No, I shout down the bond, fear grasping me so tight my head lightens.
My heart beats for her. He tells Mira without so much as flinching. I reached for unspeakable power. I turned. I'm the dark wielder she warned your father about, not Violet. Stop treating her like she's a liability. I'm already the problem.
Oh, fuck.
Mira's eyes sharpen on him, then me.
He's not serious.
He is, I confess, my voice barely a whisper.
He's the reason we survived Besgaeth.
Since December? Her eyes bulge as she unsheathes the alloy-hilted dagger at her thigh.
No, I move in front of Zayden. He's stable.
He's Venon. Mira lifts her blade. I don't take kindly to blades being lifted toward Violet. Zayden sweeps me to his side.
Like I'm the dangerous one?
She flips the dagger in readiness to throw, and power rushes into me.
Brennan, are you?
Don't, my brother says softly. Mira pauses and turns at the tone of his voice, understanding creeping over her face.
You knew?
Mira's gaze jumps from Brennan to Zayden to me, hurt and shock mixing in a lethal combination.
He'll kill you, she says to me finally. It's what they do.
He won't. I pour every ounce of my certainty, my trust, into the words.
I won't, Zayden vows. And yes, I'm stable.
But all we can do is slow the progression. Mira's breathing stills, and her eyes harden on mine.
You kept this from me.
You kept things from me, too. My fingernails bite into my palms. Things about myself that I deserved to know.
She doesn't intend to tell anyone about me, Zayden says.
He cut through her shields? You taught her well. She glares over at our brother and sheathes her blade as she walks away. Good luck keeping her alive. The door slams on her way out.
An excerpt from On Tirish History, A Complete Accounting, 3rd Edition, by Captain Fitzgibbons.
As our largest province, Tirindor provides the most conscripts for our forces. However, the strength of Navarre isn't only found in Tirish soldiers, but also in the province's most valuable resource, Teladium. Losing it would doom Navarre.
Chapter 55. 2 days pass without Mira telling anyone, and I start to believe that Zayden was right and she won't, even if she isn't speaking to me. Navarre is one step away from declaring war on Tirindor for defying the Cenarium. Haldan has troops stationed along the Caldir border, just waiting for his father to give his order, which prompted Zayden to cut off shipments of Teladium until King Tari confirms their alliance stands without the provincial commitment and the Aration riot is safe at Mezgaeth, all but stalling the war college's forge. The only positive is that I find myself back with my squad during the day and in Zayden's bed at night. Turns out Panchek doesn't actually care where anyone sleeps. Quinn spends every night with her girlfriend, too, since Jax happens to be stationed here. The best part of Professor Trissa's all-day runes class is being outdoors in the valley. The gaping hole in my chest feels a little smaller when I'm closer to Tairn. The shitty part? I'm worse than ever at runes. There are more than a dozen discarded practice discs on the ground in front of me as I sit cross-legged in the circle our squad has formed, and those are only my mistakes since lunch. A few months ago, I'd barely gotten by using the more delicate threads of magic from Andarna's power. But Tairn's is unruly and hard to separate. No wonder my signet is pretty much all or nothing. Tairn doesn't do anything in half measures, and neither does his power.
Was that Tiny I saw launching before the break? Rhi asks, setting a messy yet no doubt effective unlocking rune in front of her as Professor Trissa walks the opposite side of the circle, inspecting Nev's and Bragan's work. I nod and press my lopsided trapezoid with its four unequally spaced knots and overlying oval, which I've managed to make look like an egg, into the practice disc, tempering the rune. The wood hisses, and the shape appears, burned into the disc. They only gave Mira 72 hours of leave, which, from the sound of it, is more than they could afford. My forehead puckers as I study the rune. Every day the line retreats closer to Draethys, and the atmosphere around here feels like the air before a thunderstorm, charged with inevitable violence. I'm sorry you two didn't have more time. Rhi offers me what I'm starting to call the careful smile. It's half sympathy, half encouragement, and 100% please don't go catatonic again. It's become the trademark expression of our squad since I showed up for class the day before yesterday.
At least you got to see your sister, Kat says from the east end of our circle beside Marin, shaping a yet-to-be-seen rune in the air with both hands. I haven't been with Serena in months. She doesn't bother with the careful smile, and I weirdly appreciate it. I'm sorry. I genuinely mean it. Cordon is all but blockaded. The only way in without crossing Venon territory is by sea.
I'd say it's all right, but we both know it isn't. She sets a perfectly shaped unlocking rune down in front of her. And neither is whatever you just attempted, because that isn't going to unlock anything.
Be nice, Marin throws a sideways glance at Kat.
Good thing I excel in other areas. I flash a fuck-off smile.
Riddick snorts to Rhee's left, and before I can tell him I didn't mean it that way, Sawyer jabs him in the ribs. Professor Trissa moves down the line to the first years, and I prepare myself for the inevitable sigh of disappointment she'll give once she gets to me. She's been in a foul mood since spending most of yesterday afternoon with Mira, going over which runes did and didn't work on our failed quest. So far, the only consensus is that certain materials can carry magic beyond the continent and others can't.
It's better than the last one,
Rhee nods at my rune and brightens the careful smile.
It's not. My heart leaps as an outline of wings casts a shadow on the south side of the valley, then plummets when an orange clubtail lands to the west, near where Tarn lies, sunning his scales.
At some point, I'll stop looking for her, right?
Perhaps, Tarn answers.
So comforting.
Here, let me help you. Quinn scoots over at my right.
I've tried. She doesn't want help, Imogen remarks, finishing another perfect rune.
Maybe she doesn't want help from you, Quinn says, her tone overly sweet.
True.
Odd, considering I'm one of the best out here,
Imogen replies with just as much sugar. She, Kat, Quinn, and Sloane are our strongest, with Baylor and Marin coming in a close second. Bodhi's right up there with Kat, but he's missed afternoons the last 2 days. Not that I'm one to judge. And I have to admit, it's fun to see an area where Dane doesn't head the class either.
Which might be the issue? Quinn swings her gaze to mine. It's hard to take advice from someone who's been doing them so long that they come as second nature.
It is, I agree. Marked ones have been studying for years. By the time they reach the quadrant, they already know the patterns. They just need the magic.
I'd love your thoughts.
Quinn tucks her blonde curls behind her ears, then reaches for my disc.
I don't remember you struggling this badly before. What's different?
I've always used Andarna's power, I admit softly. Tarn's is too strong to break pliable threads from.
Sounds right. It's not like Melgrin is running around tempering runes with Coda's power.
She sets the disc down.
Maybe you need to manhandle it. Really snap the angles instead of bending. Don't coax it into the shape you want. Try a more assertive approach, aggressive even. Get rough when you break the edges. Pull hard when tying the knots.
She mimics the motions.
Harder. Rougher.
I can do that. I nod, then reach into my archives and yank a strand of Tarn's power loose.
I'm sure you can, considering who you're sleeping with, Riddick teases.
I roll my eyes and do as Quinn suggested, forcing the power into shape and tying the knots with a pull that's almost brutal. When I temper the rune into the disc, it's not perfect, but it's not the worst either.
Thank you.
No problem, she grins, then slides back toward Imogen.
They're going to be hopelessly lost when we leave them in July.
Going to be? Imogen scoffs. When Professor Trissa makes her way to our side of the circle, she gives Imogen a nod of approval, then Quinn, and then pauses over my disc.
It will do in a pinch.
It's the highest praise she's given me this trip. An hour later, Felix walks up from across the field, his flight jacket draped over his arm.
My stomach sinks.
Using strands of Tarn's power is one thing, but wielding feels like another.
Let's go, he says to me, motioning down the field. Trissa, I'll have her for the rest of the afternoon.
Oh, joy. I rise to my feet and brush the grass off the backs of my legs. Felix, do you think now is the time to push her? Trissa asks, addressing the very question everyone is thinking but no one has dared to ask.
I think now is better than a battlefield, he counters, already walking away. Come on, Sorengale, he adds. You may have lost your little Irid, but you still have Tern.
I'll hold on to your discs, reassures me. Thank you. I grab my flight jacket and pack, then catch up with Felix. I didn't lose her. She left. Not sure why, but the wording makes a difference.
All the more reason to practice.
He strides toward his red sword tail.
If the Irids aren't coming to save us, then you'd better be ready. All it takes is another Jack Barlow, and they won't just be approaching Draethys. We'll have Venin at our front door.
Right. The wards protect us, but they're not infallible. And I have to stop looking for miracles. Leothan fired the wardstone. All I can control now is me.
I'm not going to coddle you, like others, when war knocks at our doorstep. None of this training matters if you can't follow orders, he lectures. Your inability to do so during the attack nearly cost civilians their lives when those wyvern bodies came crashing through the walls.
His brow furrows in disappointment.
Your squad leader has already been spoken to. You were correct to engage farther from the battlements, but should have immediately returned to your post and intercepted those wyvern instead of gambling your lives at the temple.
There were civilians at risk, my spine stiffens. He pauses.
Did you ever consider that they wouldn't have been were you not there?
I blink as my throat constricts.
Because she's hunting me.
He nods, then continues toward our dragons, leaving me scurrying after him.
Your squad needs to learn some boundaries. You are not just any cadet. And they have to realize they cannot go chasing after you when you make mistakes, be that here or through the Isles. Between you taking unnecessary risks and Ryerson leaving his post for you, we would have lost had the Irid not fired the wardstone.
Guilt twists in my stomach. I understand.
Good.
Anything new to report from your skirmish beyond the walls? Felix asks. I split a bolt into two branches. I lift my chin, and Tern stands ahead of us. The wound on his thigh has scabbed and is healing at a rate I envy. And not into a cloud from the sky. His silver brows rise.
But did you hit your target?
I nod, both of them.
Good.
A satisfied smile curves his mouth.
Now show me.
By the time I make it back to Ryerson House that evening, my arms feel like dead weight. I've sweat through every piece of my uniform, and my right hand is covered in blisters. But I can wield. And I do so the next day, and the day after that.
You go straight from bedbound to burnout, Brennan mutters, as he finishes mending my arm muscles for the third time in 3 days. Can't you pick a nice middle ground?
His voice echoes in the empty assembly chamber. Almost every officer from Eratia has been stationed on the outposts, including the assembly members. If Brennan wasn't needed to run the place when Zayden isn't here, he'd be gone too. Apparently not. I lift my hand from the end of the long trestle table and flex my fingers.
Thank you.
I should let the healers tend to you and see how quickly you run out to do it again. He rubs the bridge of his nose and sits back in his chair. You could, I tug the sleeve of my uniform down. But I'd just be out there again tomorrow. I've already taken too much time off. Theophany isn't going to give up just because the Eratian wards are in place. If I could stand to see you in pain, I'd give it some serious thought. He drops his hand.
What are you going to do when you're back at Besgaeth?
I can't just fly 18 hours every time you overdo it. I have almost a week left to figure that out, my forehead scrunches. Do you think we'll go if Tari hasn't confirmed he won't burn the place down like he did 6 years ago? There's a growing part of me that wouldn't mind staying. I love sleeping next to Zayden at night and waking up to the feel of his mouth on my skin in the morning. I love how uncomplicated we are here, and really love that General Atos isn't lurking around every corner looking for a reason to make us miserable. But mostly, I love that Zayden seems more like himself in the last few days. He's still icy in moments, but he also carries an air of peace and purpose, and for the first time, I don't just dream about our future here. I can see it. Keeping a squad of Bezgaeth cadets would complicate, Brennan starts to answer.
You're an asshole.
Bodhi strides into the room, tearing at the buttons of his flight jacket. That's not new information, Zayden retorts at his heels, ripping the flight goggles off his head and pinning his cousin with a stare I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. His hair is windblown and his swords are strapped to his back, but I don't see any blood. Now that he's turned fully in my direction at the opposite side of the room. And the answer is no, stop asking. Brennan lifts his brows at me and I shrug. Fuck if I know what they're arguing about.
You need every rider you can get, Bodhi argues. I could be manning an outpost.
No. Zayden's jaw ticks.
Or patrolling Drathus, which we both know is about to fall.
Bodhi's hands curl into fists.
Absolutely not.
Shadows gather around Zayden's boots.
You can't just take cure and leave school because you decide you're fully educated. You have to graduate.
Wait, Bodhi wants to drop out?
Says who?
Bodhi challenges.
Besides the Empyrean and every regulation recorded?
The shadows spread.
Me!
Bodhi shakes his head.
If it's that fucking important I finish, you wouldn't be pulling me out of class every day.
Because I need you to know how to take over, Zayden snaps.
Because I'm now first in line?
There's more than a little sarcasm in Bodhi's response.
Yes!
The shadows flee, racing for the walls.
Zayden?
My stomach clenches. He glances my way, then takes a deep breath and relaxes his shoulders.
The answer is no, Bodhi. I'm not your backup plan.
Bodhi retreats two steps, then looks down the table at Brennan and me before glaring at Zayden.
You are the Duke. I am the rider. That's how it was always meant to be until our parents got themselves executed. I will stand by your side and be your right fucking hand for the rest of our lives. But if you want a member of our family to hold that seat, he points to the throne, you'd better hold your own shit together.
He walks out of the room without another word. But he'd meant for me to hear every single one he said. An ache unfolds behind my ribs. That's why Zayden is so peaceful, so driven here. He's putting the pieces in place, training his replacement. He's accepted a different future than the one I envision as I walk these halls and continue following every possible path to a cure. Zayden strides the length of the table and Brennan pushes back, his chair squeaking against the floor of the dais.
There's a stack of things requiring your signature on the desk in the study, Brennan says, intercepting Zayden. And these came for you.
He retrieves two missives from his front pocket and hands them over.
Oh, and I'd love to know why the King of Devarelli referred to my sister as your consort in his last offer.
I'd say it's a long story, but it's really not. A corner of Zayden's mouth rises, and he takes the missives.
Gods, I love that arrogant, wicked, sexy little smirk. How in this world does he think I'm supposed to live without seeing it every day?
Right. Brennan shakes his head and leaves the hall. How was your day, love? Zayden asks, breaking the wax seals on both parchments.
Is that what you're doing?
I ask, leaning forward on the table.
Preparing for your own demise?
Mine was interesting. He ignores my question and reads over the first letter, then frowns at the second. Flew out to the cliffs to check on the evacuation, which is going slower than we estimated.
His eyes meet mine as he shoves the letters into his pocket and walks up the steps.
And now Melgrin warns me not to fly into battle or we'll lose. Just a few days late with that warning. But the High Priestess of Dune's Temple has written to say that Dune holds you and Rhiannon in her regard, and that she is in my debt and owes me whatever favor I see fit. He pushes Brennan's chair aside, then leans on the edge of the table facing me. So, how is your day? He wants to exchange pleasantries? Fine. I read a book on the emergence of venom, almost managed to split a bolt in three, but my accuracy was questionable. Two seems pretty solid, and I managed runes that both harden surfaces, I arch a brow, and soften them. Are you preparing for your own demise? Yes, he slides his hands into his pockets. But I'm not embracing the fall, if that's what you're thinking. I won't give up a single day I have with you, not without a fight. Days, not weeks or months or even years. I'm hit with the sudden urge to never sleep again, to use every minute I have with him. Do you want to go sit on the roof? I had something else in mind. He glances toward the throne. Yes, please. I flick my wrist and shut the door using lesser magic, then lock it. His smile instantly becomes a core memory. Official correspondence of His Majesty King Tari the Wise to His Grace, Lieutenant Zayden Ryerson, 16th Duke of Tirindor. If Tirindor does not immediately restore the flow of Taladium, the consequences will be dire, not only for the province, but the continent. This is not a request. It is an order from your king. Chapter 56. I stand in the field in front of Draethys, surrounded by the peaks of snow-topped mountains. And even though I shouldn't, I take the first step toward the city. I'm too far. I'll never reach Taryn, and he's my only chance at finding her. Battle erupts in the sky over its spiral tower, and the outlines of wings pop through the ominous clouds hovering over the canyons to the south before descending into darkness once more. The storm gives me the one thing I can never really afford. Hope. The rain might make flying a pain in the ass, but it will give her the edge she needs. Fire erupts along the high walls, and flames of blue and green rise, climbing the guard towers like ivy. Shit, I have to get there now. I can put it out. Shadow beats flame every time. My footsteps falter and I pause. Shadow? I don't wield shadows. Zayden does. My body fights to lurch forward, to run toward the city, but I shouldn't continue across this field. It only ever ends one way with a sage yanking me into the air. This is Zayden's dream. Awareness prickles the back of my neck. I'm in Zayden's dream. The realization does something that feels like a snap across the back of my skull. Suddenly, I'm no longer a part of him as he takes off running ahead of me, dressed for battle. Zayden! I shout before he can make it a half dozen steps. He stops, then slowly turns to face me in the grass-covered field. His eyes widen when he spots me, then narrow as he glances left, then right. You shouldn't be here. That's an understatement. I take in our surroundings with a quick glance. The field is barren, but if this dream is anything like his others, it won't be for long. You aren't safe, he shakes his head and stalks toward me. I can't keep you safe. This isn't real. I take his ice-cold hand in mine. Then startle. I can feel that. Why can't you escape this place? What keeps you here?
I do,
the sage answers from behind Zayden. Zayden whips around, reaching over his shoulder for a blade that disappears, and I move to his side. The sage pulls back the hood of his maroon robe, revealing the freakishly young face that haunts my, Zayden's dreams, and smiles, cracking the skin of his chapped lips. The veins along his temples pulse crimson as he folds his gnarled hands like this has the possibility of being a civil encounter.
It's so nice of you to join us, lightning wielder.
He tilts his head.
Or should I call you Dreamwalker?
My lips part. Zayden's nightmares are eerily on point. We should go, I whisper.
He can't.
The sage's smile widens, and he lifts his bony hand. Zayden rises and claws at his throat. Wake up, I shout at Zayden.
I told you, he can't. And here I'd hope you'd be a quick learner. How disappointing.
The sage lectures, then slits his eyes like a snake toward Zayden.
You lost something I wanted, but you will bring her, he demands.
Never, Zayden forces through his throat, and his feet kick for the ground.
Don't worry, the sage says with a twisted smile. I'll be a more merciful teacher than Theophany.
Fear races down my spine, and I reach for power. Stop. This is a dream. It isn't real. He isn't losing air. He's breathing just fine in our bed. I have to wake up. But that only ever happens once the sage strikes. His sword coming down on me. Pain. I need pain. I reach for my thigh, but only find a smooth layer of leather.
I am done waiting, the sage snarls. Done playing this little game. You may have raised your wards, but they won't save you. We have the advantage, and if you will not deliver her, then she will come herself.
He closes his fist, and Zayden wheezes.
It's simple, Dreamwalker. You come, or she dies.
She who? This is a dream, I remind myself, and if it were mine, I'd be armed. I slide my hand down my hip and find the hilt of a dagger. Before I can second-guess my plan, I wrench it free. The sage's eyes widen on the polished wooden handle, but I'm already swinging it toward my arm. The blade sinks into my skin. I jolt upright in bed and gasp for breath, blinking furiously to clear the haze of the nightmare as dawn breaks outside our bedroom window. Zayden, his spine is arched beside me, his head thrown back in pain as he strains for the very air he's breathing. Wake up! I put both my hands on his chest and shove with my body and mind. Zayden, wake up!
His eyes flash open, and he falls flat against the mattress as his heart pounds beneath my fingers.
It was just a dream. I shift my weight to kneel beside him, then push his hair off his clammy forehead. We're in Aracia, in your room. It's just you and me. He blinks at me a few times, then blows out a small breath.
That sounds like a much better dream.
His hand splays over my hip and his heart rate slows as he looks up at me.
You were there.
Yeah, I nod, tracing the scar above his heart.
I saw you pull the dagger. I knew you were there. That's never happened before.
He sits up, bringing our faces closer.
How do I explain it?
You know, it's not the first time I've recognized it as a dream, but it is the first time I knew it was your dream, that it wasn't mine. The second I realized it, I became myself, separate from you. My brow knits. I just don't know how.
It sounds like you figured it out pretty quickly. He searches my face.
I shouldn't have been able to do it. My voice fades to a whisper.
Endarna's gone.
His thumb strokes the top of my hip.
Maybe the power's gone, but the ability still remains.
Tarn? I reach down the bond.
I have encountered this as many times as you have.
His reply is gruff with sleep.
Not helpful.
Before I can sink any deeper into my thoughts, someone pounds on our door. It's too early for anything positive. That can't be good.
Agreed.
Zayden throws back the blankets and heads for the door in nothing but his sleeping pants, and I scramble for the armoire.
Garrick, you look like shit.
What could Garrick possibly be doing here at this hour? I grab my robe, then tug it over my cotton nightdress before hurrying to Zayden's side. He wasn't kidding. Garrick looks like shit. Blood drips from his hairline, and his left eye is rapidly swelling shut from what appears to be a fresh hit. Instead of his swords, he carries a massive shield on his back, the size and weight of which would absolutely crush me.
We were on patrol when she found us.
Garrick's gaze flickers my way, and the instant pity that fills his open eyes sours my stomach.
I wasn't strong enough, or quick enough. She ripped us straight out of the sky like a pair of pigeons in a windstorm. Who? Zayden asks, steadying his friend's arms when he wavers.
Their lightning wielder,
Garrick answers. She let me go to deliver a message.
Theophany.
To me? Zayden asks, his brow furrowing.
For both of you.
Garrick retreats a step, then swings off his shield.
They've reached the walls of Drathus.
She said, if that isn't threat enough, you have 5 hours to bring Bodhi and Violet, or she dies.
He glances at me.
You come or she dies. Isn't that what the sage said? But why Bodhi? And who could she possibly...
No. I shake my head and my stomach lurches. There's no possible way the Irids would let her put her hands on Andarna.
If Andarna is even still on the continent.
Who?
Zayden starts, then falls silent and stares at Garrick's shield.
Fuck.
I drop my gaze to the shield too, and my heart drops out of my chest.
It isn't a shield.
It's a green scale that matches the exact shade of my armor.
Not Andarna.
Tiny.
Theophany has Mira.
Page 71, The Book of Brennan. But even harder than taking a life is doing nothing while one is extinguished beside you.
Keep your eyes forward, Mira.
Chapter 57.
We fly for Drathus. They'll attack as soon as they get what they want.
And leave Sorengale to die?
Who says she's even still alive?
The voices of arguing armed riders blur as I stand between Zayden and Brennan near the center of the dais, staring at the updated map of the assembly chamber wall.
There are thousands coming up the pass out of the city. If Drathus falls, they're all dead. We have a 6-dragon riot stationed there.
10 now that the line has fallen back.
Don't forget the Nightwing drift. Against hundreds of Wyvern.
And at least a dozen Dark Wielders.
Whoever goes isn't coming back from that.
Then you send us.
We're not sending cadets into combat.
It was our dragons who woke us. End of debate. We're going.
I barely hear any of it. Only one thought matters.
Theophany is done waiting for me, and she has Mira. She has my sister.
And our last words were in anger.
Fear threatens to worm its way past the rage boiling in my blood, and I fight to deny it entry. Mira doesn't have time for my fear. It's a 4-hour flight to Drathus. And if we don't leave in the next half hour, we'll be too late, not just for Mira, but for the thousands of civilians as well.
How did this happen?
A harsh red line on the map spans from what had been the Eastern Front directly to Drathus.
They've surged in the last 24 hours, ignoring everything else along their path, concentrating on this one target when easier comparable cities remain untouched.
Not all signets are equal. I know she's a maven, but is she more powerful than you?
Brennan folds his arms at my right as the others continue to argue.
Yes, I answer. There's no point lying.
We'll be walking into a trap.
His gaze locks on the flag representing Drathus.
Flying. And who said you were coming?
I counter. The space between the flag and the cliffs of Draelor seems impossibly small for so many people to flee. And the climb is hellacious.
They won't all make it.
She's my sister too, Brennan states.
He has a point. Zayden stands silently in front of the throne, his arms crossed as he studies the field to the north of Drathus, where Theophany has demanded we meet.
We don't have enough riders to retrieve Mira, defend Drathus, and protect the pass.
No, Brennan sighs and examines the map more closely. We'll have to prioritize an objective.
Maybe two.
Zayden nods.
We can't just leave people to die,
I protest. The arguments between cadets and officers grow louder, and the pit in my stomach deepens.
I should be with my squad, but I'll be damned if I stand patiently and wait for others to decide my sister's fate. What would you do if they were your citizens on the other side of the border?
Kat yells across the room from where our squad stands in loose formation.
Or are you thinking like true Navarians now that you're tucked in safe behind your wards?
A smart-ass captain snaps something back at Kat that I can't hear over the din, and Sloane charges. I nearly jump over the table, but Dane gets there first, hooking his arm around her waist and hauling her back as she swings. The second he sets her on her feet, those fists are aimed in his direction, and I wince as he lets two make contact before trapping her wrists and leaning in low. Whatever he says must register, because she gives a curt nod, then retorts with a glare and walks back into formation, where Rhee is waiting with what looks like a scathing lecture. Dane lifts his brows at me and I grimace an apology before he moves to Bodhi's side.
How long are you going to let them fight? Brennan asks, glancing at Zayden.
Until my tactician gives me a plan that doesn't make me choose between objectives, Zayden answers.
The volume of their delivery doesn't make their points any less valid.
I can't guarantee two, let alone three, Brennan's mouth purses.
Live up to your reputation and try, Zayden orders.
Brennan curses, then looks over the room.
I need Tavis and Kaori, he shouts.
Both men quickly separate from the crowd and make their way up Brennan's side of the dais.
Have you been to Drathus? He asks Kaori.
Once,
the professor nods. Can you give me a roughly scaled projection of the territory? Kaori lifts his hands, and a three-dimensional projection of Drathus and its surrounding areas appears over the table. The room falls quiet as Brennan leans forward, bracing his palms on the table to study the image as Garrick points out where our current defenses stand. The gash on his head and black eye are both gone thanks to Brennan. The city sits at the southwestern edge of an intermontane plateau that spans a couple dozen miles. It's surrounded by peaks on every side and accessible only through a winding series of valleys, the western river that flows south to the Arctile Ocean, or air, which Theophany commands due to her signet. And if Garrick's reports are accurate, the eastern field is theirs too.
Whatever calculations you make, just know that I'll be going with Violet, Zayden says.
I figured, Brennan answers. My chest tightens with enough pressure to crush a dragon.
You'll be risking your life.
It's risked the second you cross the wards, and we both know you're going after Mira. I'd rather be at your side than hunting you down after you sneak out. His jaw flexes.
Theophany doesn't want to kill me, or she already would have.
I memorize the topography of the field, feeding the information to Tarn. Between the jagged peaks, lines of forest, and the rows of vertical rock formations along the western edge. It's basically nature's own fighting pit.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of,
Zayden replies as Felix and Professor Trissa walk in. There are worse things than dying.
Is now a good time to point out that Tirandor can't afford to lose her duke on what amounts to a death wish?
Felix asks, heading to the front of the dais with Professor Trissa.
I have no intention of dying, Zayden replies. Panchak has already launched to request reinforcements.
Which we know Melgrin won't send. Apparently that late warning was actually an early warning for this,
Trissa counters, keeping her voice level and glancing at me, then Brennan.
I'm sorry for the loss of your sister, but Melgrin has already proclaimed this battle a defeat, and he's never been wrong.
A lump the size of my conduit forms in my throat. I'm not giving up on Mira or any of them.
Choice determines our future. Melgrin's only seen the outcome of one path,
I glance at Zayden,
which couldn't have had three rebellion relics. Cadets belong in formation, not battle planning,
Trissa snaps at me. My spine stiffens and my hands grip the edge of the table.
She stands at my side.
Zayden's voice drops into that lethally calm wingleader tone, and he places his warm hand over mine.
Remember that.
The compliment and the pressure of it aren't lost on me.
Starting to understand the consort missive,
Brennan mutters under his breath, then looks at the model from a different angle.
We lose if we only take the officers.
Absolutely no cadets. Felix shakes his head, not after what happened last time.
We're still repairing the walls from when those two went rogue. He looks my way. Zayden glances toward my squad, his gaze lingering on Imogen, then Sloane, then Bodhi.
Make a different choice. Get a different outcome, Garrick suggests. They'll have to live with themselves, so let them make their choice too.
Gods know we did.
Only volunteers. First year stay behind the wards, Zayden orders.
Put us where you need us, Bodhi calls out, then glances at Dane. With the permission of our wing leader, of course.
Given, Dane agrees.
Ree takes count of every hand in the air, which is all of them.
Second squad stands ready.
This cannot be happening, Trissa argues.
It is. Zayden's tone doesn't invite interpretation. The assembly wanted me in that chair, and now you'll deal with my decisions while in it.
You're not ready, Felix shoots the insult my way.
Even if Dreyfus and fleeing civilians weren't under direct threat.
She's my sister. I'm going to do everything I can to rescue her.
I lift my chin.
Our sister, Brennan corrects, studying me with a tilted head.
Which means that dark wielder knows way more about us than we do her.
Zayden looks toward the back of my squad's formation where Bodhi stands with Dane.
Garrick, tell me exactly what her demand was. Why does she want Bodhi?
I don't know. Garrick scratches the stubble along his chin. She said to bring Violet and your brother, and they'll let Dreyfus stand.
Stand or live?
Anka was standing when they left it, too.
Zayden tenses.
She said brother?
Garrick nods.
Everyone knows you were raised together.
It's certainly the fastest way to wipe out Tirindor's ruling line, Trissa notes.
Right.
Two furrows appear between Zayden's brows and his mouth tenses.
What are you thinking?
I ask.
Venon don't care about succession.
You have another who calls you by the name, Sigale chimes in, her words sharper than her teeth.
Another, I frown. The only other person who would have qualified for that title was Liam.
Wait.
The very first time I met her, she didn't kill me. But she didn't achieve her rescue objective either. My stomach hollows.
She wants Jack.
That's my guess. His gaze darts to Kaori, who's solely focused on his projection, then jumps to Garrick.
You up for a little walk?
He asks quietly. Garrick glances at Kaori, then nods.
Use me, I whisper to Brennan so Zayden won't hear. Once I rescue Mira, I'll station myself between the pass and Dreyfus. I can wield in both directions if Wyvern get past me.
That's it. Brennan's eyes slide shut. Everyone but the seven of us out, now, he orders, his voice booming through the room. Stay in the hallway for quick recall.
We don't have time for this, Felix argues as the crowd moves into the hallway.
You're the variable I'm missing, and worse, you make Ryerson one too.
Brennan swings his gaze to mine as the assembly chamber empties. I draw back.
I'm sorry?
Tread carefully, Zayden warns.
That right there, for starters.
Brennan stares at me while pointing at Zayden, and I don't think he's just talking about this discussion. He gestures to the model.
Violet, pick one objective to win.
People will die if we only choose one.
My heart starts to pound.
Yes, he nods. Welcome to leadership.
Why me?
I stare at the model. Mira has to come first, but the thought of leaving civilians to be desiccated, our own riders and flyers to die with their bonded ones?
It's too much to fathom.
Losing Liam was battle. Mom was her own sacrifice. Traeger was luck.
Being responsible for the deaths of thousands?
Because I don't think you can.
Brennan answers gently.
Theophany knows you'll try to save everyone like you did in Resin, or at Dune's Temple,
or Bazgaeth before Mom.
He swallows. That's why we'll fail. Because you will choose everyone over yourself. And he will choose you over everyone.
My stomach hollows.
You're not playing fair,
Zayden replies, his voice sliding lower. In all the years we've known each other, fair isn't a term I've ever heard you argue.
Brennan holds up a single finger.
Prove me wrong so we can go get our sister, Violet. The only way we're walking out of the trap this Dark Wielder designed for you is if you don't fall for it. One objective, one path.
He lifts his brows, and the words hit me square in the stomach. Taryn would select one in a heartbeat, and Darna would choose them all. But she's gone. What's the objective with the biggest impact? Setting Zayden aside, Drathus will only hold as long as we can defend it. The same goes for the pass. And if I rescue Mira, there's every chance Theophany will...
This isn't about Mira. She's hunting me.
Theophany, I take a steadying breath. I guess I would kill Theophany.
I'm impressed. That was not on my list. The table creaks as Brennan sits on its edge. And if Cadet Sorengale is abducted while securing her objective.
Shadows spread at Zayden's feet.
Bodhi will make an excellent duke. At least one of you can be taught.
Brennan rubs the scar on his palm.
Do you trust your squad leader to hold a position this time? He asks me.
With my life, I answer instantly.
All right, Brennan nods. I have one idea.
He looks at us all in turn.
I'll unlock the armory. Trissa, we need you to open that little cache you keep of runes and Maorcite arrowheads. Zayden, we need you to trust Violet not to get herself killed.
He doesn't wait for Zayden's response before staring me down.
And above all else, we need you to understand that you cannot save everyone, and you cannot stray from your orders.
I'll do whatever it takes to save Mira.
Fine. An excerpt from Colonel Daxton's Guide to Excelling in the Scribe Quadrant. Most cadets believe their ability to recite historical fact will usher them onto the adept path. But it is actually the ability to observe and recount it that separates the librarians from the scribes.
Chapter 58. Taryn can fly to the nearest edge of the cliffs of Draelor in 2 hours, but it does us no good to leave Sigale, Kyr, and Marb behind. So by the time we reach the 10,000-foot drop, we're cutting it close to Theophany's deadline.
Gods, if we miss it, if we're too late and she kills Mira.
My throat threatens to close.
We'll make it,
Taryn promises, as we descend the cliffs in a steep dive between the falls and the crowded Madaro Pass. It had been a treacherous, deadly climb in autumn, and we were cadets. I can't begin to imagine how civilians, how children, are making the ascent.
Do you agree that it's a trap? The words spill out before I can stop them.
Of course, he replies. But you already know that. Otherwise, we would have discussed it over the last 3.5 hours.
Guilt wedges itself between my ribs as we plunge into a thick layer of fluffy white clouds.
Do not dishonor me with such emotions, he lectures.
And how does Sigale feel about me endangering Zayden? I scan the clouds as best I can for the outline of Wyvern, but the cover is thick, and we're moving too fast to be thorough.
Had she not agreed, she would still be an Aracia, and your Dark One would be walking.
Excellent point. Theophany took Mira because of me. I'm the reason she's going through this.
You are our Lightning Wielder, and while your life may not matter more than other riders, your signet does. You are the weapon, and we'll have to learn to accept the sacrifice of others in your name if you want to win this war.
Nausea churns in my stomach. And you think I should have accepted Mira's death as a sacrifice?
We burst through the clouds, and the field comes into startling view.
If I did, I would still be in Erasia, and you would be walking.
My heart sinks as I survey the landscape. The eastern fields approaching Drathus are covered in hordes of gray wyvern, setting siege against a line of dragons and griffins perched between the guard stands along the city walls. They outnumber us in a ratio I don't even want to calculate. For the first time, I'm relieved that Andarna chose to go. Brennan is brilliant, but this feels unwinnable. Our estimates were off.
It appears so.
But none of them launch to attack as we descend, nor do they impede the thick line of evacuees streaming from the city's western gate.
Molvik has been spotted along the cliffs,
Tarn warns as he flares his wings, slowing our momentum.
Fucking Arik. If he gets himself killed, he was seen flying south, away from the conflict.
He spits every word in disgust.
What in Amari's name could he be doing?
It's not like Arik to run away.
Nor Molvik.
Tarn levels out as we approach the northern field, where at last I spot a horde of a dozen wyvern waiting in a circle around Tiny.
In.
Out. I force myself to breathe. It's unnatural to hold a dragon captive. The wyvern are perched on heavy chains that loop around Tiny's tail, bind his legs and his snout, and pin his wings to his thrashing body. Each line of metal is coated in his blood, and several of his scales litter the ground. Theophany stands in front of them, silver hair shining, holding one blade